Welcome to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. Greetings, sisters and brothers, and other beings who have no specific gender. Tonight, we are speaking with the delightful Christy Aphrodite from Soul. She has her own show, her own station, Soul Journeys Radio. She's famous on American Freedom Radio for being Christy Truther from the Truth Brigade. There's been an evolution, I think, so we'll see what goes on with that. Anything maintenance? You can join us in the chat room, which is wolfspiritradio.com/wolfchat. And I'd like to say good evening to everybody out there and everybody in here, and to all of the gnomes that are being produced at the Gnome Factory. You know what I'm talking about. So, without any further ado, good evening, Christy. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Jay. How are you today?
Oh, I'm very lovely. Yeah, I have. I had a really nice afternoon with my son and his girlfriend, and we just went for a walk in the country to the side around here, and it was just beautiful. It was a bit muddy and a bit damp, but just a lovely afternoon.
Ah, muddy and damp is good. Yeah. Did you take your shoes off?
No, it's cold. It's cold, muddy and damp here, Christy. This is Scotland. We're three degrees away from the Arctic Circle. Nobody takes their shoes off here.
Oh.
This is not San Diego, my dear. Yeah, it's cold and wet and muddy. Have you ever seen the films like what's that, Highlander or Culloden, what's that Mel Gibson film, Braveheart, all that stuff, all that countryside? That's this place, the Highlands of Scotland. It's fantastic.
So beautiful.
Oh yes, it's stunning.
Oh, sounds like a good day.
Yeah, it's not bad. Not bad at all.
Excellent.
And how about yourself? How was your day?
Oh, wonderful. Trying to catch up from this just incredible surge of energy that, I don't know, something's been going on the last couple weeks, and the universe has kind of directed me to break out of my shell a little bit in multiple ways, and just watching everything unfold and trying to keep up, but it's amazing. So thank you, and I'm honored to be here. So thank you for having me on.
Well, I must have caught you at that moment. You know, it's like there's a moment in a star's life when it becomes, you know, it becomes born and becomes a supernova and all this stuff, and it goes nova, becomes new and shines out. And there are gamma ray bursts that the scientists can detect if that's going to happen, you know, because it's just about to happen. And anyway, I think that's going to be happening to the human race.
I hope so. It is pretty magical, adventurous ride.
And that's from our perspective, but I think it's also going to be happening to our solar system and our planet, that our planet becomes a planet of light, that we become beings of light on the planet of light, and the sun becomes a star of a higher light.
Yeah.
That's my feeling, and that's from the galactic ribbon wave. That the scientists in NASA discovered about 15 years ago. They said, oh, there's a ribbon of energy at the edge of the solar system.
All right.
And then you never heard anything about it.
We're on the cutting edge of that, huh? Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Well, what I believe we're feeling, Christy, is that we're experiencing the bow shock. Now, the bow shock is when a ship's cutting through the water, there's the wave right at the front on the bow is curling back in on itself and sending ripples forward. Is that making sense?
Yeah, totally.
And that's what we're experiencing. We're experiencing the bow shocks of the wave.
Yeah,
and
that makes sense. And it's kind of like when you drop something or a little drop of water in a bowl of water and you see the waves go outward to the edge and then come back to the center. It feels like we're in that back to the center movement.
Yes. Well, what happens is that the waves eventually keep bouncing and bouncing backwards and forwards until an image is frozen in the water. And that's what we call standing waves. And that's how that's apparently how the hologram works. The hologram that we're in, we're standing waves in this, in these beams of energy that are crossing over each other. Long story.
I'd love to hear more. So.
Yeah, well, this is what we're talking. You know, when I'm talking about the rays, and I'm talking about how does light become matter? You know, physicists are only just discovering this thing that light becomes matter when it slows down and. And matter becomes light when it speeds up and all that stuff. What we discovered is that light and sound and matter and smell and feeling is all the same stuff, just at different frequencies. And if you find the corresponding frequency in the appropriate octave, you can heal someone with sound, you can heal someone with light, you can heal someone with smell.
Definitely.
And you can heal someone with herbs because the herbs have frequency. That's how it works.
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, they've done speaking of herbs and oils, they've done so many studies in regards to the frequency. Because, you know, you always hear, oh, raise your frequency.
Yes.
Well, what does that mean? Exactly. And how do you do it? And, you know, Mother Nature is just a beautiful, gentle, and loving way to do that because... allegedly, and you know, these are all statistics and figures given to us by science, and whether they're exactly true or not, I don't really know. But the human body has been measured, an average healthy human body between 62 and 68 megahertz, and the brain somewhere between 72 and 90 for a healthy brain. But when you start having, say, like a cold or a flu, it goes down to 55, 58, cancer, 42, and death begins allegedly at 25. And, you know, really simple way to just kind of raise that frequency and boost your energy naturally and instantly. Essential oils. I mean, they have like the highest frequencies of, something available to us right here that we can do outside of ourselves. And they're measured between 52 and 320 for like rose oil and such. So, literally one inhale or even hanging out with them or, drinking a tea or just playing with them and putting your hands in the dirt has literally been proven to raise your frequency, your vibration, and your health, mental, physical, and emotional, instantly.
Absolutely. Now, I have a particular connection with essential oils. I've been, as I mentioned to you the other day, I write a database. I'm a database programmer by trade, as it were. I've been looking after the entire price list and product list of an essential oil company. So I know all these names. I know some of the products. And my favorite, I have two particular favorites, actually. One is lavender and one is tea tree. And you won't find me without a bottle of either if I'm going away.
Seriously. So you can totally replace your entire medicine cabinet for those who... still believe in, man-made medicine and pills and such, but with lavender, tea tree, and I would also add peppermint to that, too.
Oh, well, yeah, and you can put that in food.
Mm-hmm, definitely,
because, it's funny, all these oils, all these essential oils, they're edible, and they contain the fine taste. that's what the taste is. The taste of these
definitely
things,
yeah. And they're natural antibiotics, antifungals, antiparasitics, anti-infectuants, antidepressants. Mm. I mean, all like in this one beautiful little drop of oil that's essentially the soul of the plant.
Exactly, the essence is the soul. And that's what we're all about. On Ever Beyond, we're all about soul.
That's right. Awesome. I'm glad. It's hard to meet, you don't come across a lot of men that, are affluent in essential oils. And, I think a lot of times they just think, oh, well, those are frilly girl things. Mm. And, ooh, they just smell good. And, when people find out how they work and how they work so effectively, efficiently, and quickly, it can totally change your life around.
Oh, gosh, yeah. The guy I do the work for, he's Norwegian. His name is Kolbjørn. And it means big black bear. And although he's blonde, he's a lovely guy. He's a big teddy bear. Anyway, he knows so much about these essential oils, and I've been trying to squeeze the essence out of him. I want to make videos with him. I'm fed up with doing his database, and I'm going to state it publicly right now. I want to make videos for Kolbjørn, so that his information goes on DVDs and is valuable, valuable, valuable. You particularly, Christy, would be enamored by this man. He is so knowledgeable. He wrote a whole book on tea tree oil.
Oh, wow.
The use of tea tree oil therapeutically for all sorts of issues. Mostly, topically as well. Obviously it's strong stuff. You don't want to drink it directly.
Wonderful antiseptic. But actually, it's wonderful for gum disease and teeth, mouth issues.
Yep.
So, you probably don't want to drink.
Well, no, you don't want to drink it neat.
But drop excellent for fungus and boils and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
People get occasionally.
Well, when I was working for him, he was working out of his little council house in you call them project house in the town, and I went in there and I had the most terrible gastric problems. And I hadn't eaten for 2 days. Now, if you knew me, me not eating for like half an hour is bad enough, right?
You but and you both.
I was not very well. And I went in there and, he needed me to do some work on his computer. So I was working away and like feeling very miserable. He said, one moment. So he went away and came back and he got a glass of water, put 15 drops of wild tea tree oil into this glass. He said, here, drink this. I said, you're joking. He said, drink it. Okay, so I necked it down. Yeah, it's horrible. It tastes horrible, right?
15 drops sounds pretty highly
concentrated. It was a high dose. I tell you, it knocked it on its head. Half an hour later, I was eating ice cream with him.
Nice.
My appetite back. What's that?
I mean, I'd love to hear what you felt immediately and how it turned your gastric issues around. What did it feel like? I mean, did you feel or did you experience a surge of energy and just kind of cleansing?
It was a gradual lifting of that kind of yucky feeling.
Though,
it was pretty gentle. It wasn't like somebody what I was fine with tea tree. The difference between tea tree and also colloidal silver and antibiotics is the antibiotics that you really feel them, wham, suddenly you feel different. It's very much more like a fade in, kind of fade out thing with herbs and natural products. It's not so wham. No wham factor with it. But it was a gradual lifting. Oh, have we lost Christy? It was a gradual lifting I've gone offline.
Oh, no.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Ever Beyond. We apologize for the interruption caused by a power outage and a small brain cell that didn't quite fire somewhere near the frontal lobe of my cortex. I am speaking with Christy Aphrodite from Soul Journeys Radio, and for also of the Truth Brigade. And we've been talking about essential oils, and now we know we're on the air.
Excellent. All right, we are back.
We are back now.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Ever Beyond. Right, we apologize.
There we go. So, yeah, it's just coming back to back on the air. That's what I just heard. So, we are now, we were talking about essential oils, so tell me, how did you get involved? Let's go back to the subject of this interview, Christy. How did you get involved with the essential oils, and did they come first? Can I take a deep breath?
Take three.
Can I wind it back? Can I go back?
Go ahead.
Your previous life. Let's go back to that. No.
Which one?
Well, I mean, like, I mean, in this life, you know, because everybody I know, and certainly everybody who's come on this show, has had a transformation moment, or maybe several, or maybe a continuous process.
Definitely more than one moment.
And that's a process, and that process is what we call the initiations. And these things happen, and you gain various kind of insights through these processes, and you realize how necessary they were for a start, and why they happened, and all of these things make sense in the end because you realize that that's all part of your evolutionary growth. So, who was Christy before then?
Oh, wow. I was probably the person that I would make fun of now. Just kidding. but I grew up very matrix-sized, kind of conservative, Republican, political, follow the leader type mentality. My father and grandfather were military and therefore very regimented and somewhat, unemotional. And so it was an interesting dichotomy because my grandmother, on the other hand, was played a very, very extreme and beautiful role in my life, even though she's been gone almost 20 years. They were total opposites. She was the one talking about the things that we talk about here, yet, the funny thing is that my family, my mother in particular, which is who I grew up with, that's crazy talk. That's crazy talk. So, like, while I grew up, with her a lot being introduced to the other worlds, I tended to, went to school and did all that. And, of course, thought, mommy would never lie to me and my teachers would never lie. So I kind of threw everything out the window in that search during my teens and 20s and figured, well, okay, my grandmother and I are like this, but everyone else seems to be like that. So we must be wrong. I'm going to try to fit into this little matrix and try to be like everyone else. And I certainly felt that something was definitely lacking. And thankfully, what I refer to as the seventh sense, we all hear about the five senses, and sixth sense we mostly refer to as intuition and our gut feeling and such. And the seventh sense, I believe, is symptoms, physical symptoms that we feel in our body. So thankfully, I got hit with a Mack truck multiple times and, kind of grew up sick. I let it grow on me. And I think that has to do with the division in my own mind, feeling that, there was something missing and that something that was missing was, what I knew to be true innately, but didn't have the courage to step out of that box. And, I kept trying to force myself to please my parents and please the churches and the politicians and the teachers. So that pretty much led to a lifetime of illness and disease. And really what I call dis-ease is simply the opposite of ease, which you know, if any of us want to be honest with our internal struggles, we can clearly see that. So I manifested, of course. Well, I started off with asthma. And through a long chain of events, ended up manifesting cancer, diabetes, fibromyalgia, lupus, MS, strokes, seizures. I was even paralyzed from the waist down with my children feeding and clothing me. And those were just like huge, huge wake-up calls that forced me to look elsewhere. And you know, although I really didn't know where to look because I went to school, I majored in nutrition, and I had always been interested in, you know, I thought as a child, I wanted to be a doctor, I want to heal people. And I did have this natural ability to be soothing and therefore help others heal. But, you know, the whole wounded healer thing, I was totally sick myself. And I thought that if I was able to... you know, I wanted to take the pain away from everyone else, and I completely forgot about myself. So when I made the decision and literally cried out to God, to Source, and what are the answers, a series of events and teachers just kind of showed up in my life, seemingly randomly. Of course, it was all absolutely perfect. They had to wait until I had ears to hear and eyes to see. And when I got sick and tired of being sick and tired, I was able to recognize these people who had, you know, just beautiful tidbits of wisdom that caused me to start looking in the right direction. And that right direction was essentially, you know, Mother Nature slash God slash Goddess slash Source slash Universe, whatever that is, that, you know, has designed everything perfectly, is smarter than man, period. So I went from trusting man with my life to trusting Source and just started making the changes I needed to get more in balance and become more aligned with her. And everything changed. I made a full recovery. In fact, 17 years ago, when I was having strokes and lost my kidneys and was wearing diapers. And I mean, I literally wore diapers.
OMG.
In my 20s too. Wow. So yeah, it was embarrassing, and, you know, but definitely at the time, definitely all necessary though. And, you know, so these were little wake-up calls that I came across in my path. And then one woman in particular told me that despite what doctors are telling you, you do have the ability to heal yourself, and then actually taught me or introduced me to proper nutrition. So there I was, I had to throw out my edumacation and, you know, open up to these worlds. And it was amazing because every time I read something or heard something, like I knew innately, I mean, something tingled. It was definitely this high surge of energy where I knew what they were saying was true, even though I had never heard it before. And so I just took little steps to incorporate these things, these methods into my life, which of course include essential oils, what we talked about earlier, gardening, putting my feet in the dirt, juicing, you know, all sorts of things. But it all basically takes me back to aligning with Mother Nature.
And your own soul nature that is coming through that.
Definitely. Mm. Well, we are Mother Nature. We're exactly. All little pieces of that puzzle. And when you realize that, or at least for me, I could never go back. It's just, I mean, hello. You know, I was never supposed to walk again. I'm, you know, was supposed to die 17 years ago. I was on all the, like every drug they gave me, Jay, I took. I totally gave my power away and trusted the experts, and it got me nothing but sicker and more emotionally devastated and, you know, pretty much just this, I don't know, kind of a black, sick, tired, angry, fearful cloud of energy that, you know, I allowed to permeate my entire being.
But there was one day when you said in your heart, sod this for a game of soldiers, or something to the the American equivalent of that. It's just, you know, there comes a point when you realize that none of that works, and you have to.
I definitely knew that, but I didn't know what would work, and that's when the universe sent me these little teachers, you know, and probably unknowingly. I mean, there's so many people that I would love to rewind, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and just give them a great big hug and say, thank you. I know that when you made that one statement to me, you probably had no idea how it would affect me, but I held on to it and you completely changed my life around. So if I can openly say to the universe, I want to thank all of these people right now.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, I remember people, because when you're healing, when you're in that process, you know, actually nobody else matters. You know, it's all about me, 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 me. It certainly was for me, and I presume I'm projecting that onto others. But I, you know, a lot of people, you know, when you're ill, it's your body screaming out for attention from you. You know, you really have to pay you attention.
It's scary.
Yeah,
it's totally scary because in 30 or 35 years of, you know, thinking you know everything, you know, going to school, reading the books, listening to all the experts. You know, it really wasn't about acquiring knowledge. Mm-hmm. It was about removing what I thought I knew and allow the universe to flow. And so the answers that were already there, I was able to hear them and see them and implement them. So it was definitely more than one day. But, yeah, I do remember, you know, saying, okay, God, obviously this isn't working. And I thought for many years that, wow, you know, everybody asked the meaning of life. And I really believed that, wow, the meaning of life is to just, you know, be miserable and be sick and take a bunch of drugs and die a horrible death. So, you know, of course I started questioning God and how happen and how could people be dying and how could people be sick, and you know, which led me to realize that it's all a choice and that all of these little illnesses and diagnoses are wake-up calls for us to remember who we are and the power within, not without.
That's right, because you have to go through the process of losing all your faith. That's part of what we call the initiation. You have to let go of everything you think you know about the universe and about the way things are, and just step into the unknown in some way. You know, and you know, when you have a near-death experience, generally, and you survive it, generally it means that in some previous life you've had you've had a spiritual awakening, and this is part of what we call the recapitulation of it. So it got you on your path, you know. I was very, very similar. I was a very skeptical kind of technical kind of guy, computer guy, IT guy, and you know, these things. So I was fascinated by hypnosis, but these things just really passed me by. And until I woke up one morning in hospital 3 weeks after they told me I'd crashed on my bike and I couldn't remember anything and I couldn't speak and I couldn't walk and all sorts of things. And that was quite an interesting time.
Isn't it beautiful though? Because I know, like, when we go through it, like when we're in the midst of it and you know, kind of blinded by the darkness, you know, we think, oh, this is so tragic, this is so devastating, oh, it's the end of the world. And then come to find out that the end of the world is actually just the beginning. And so all of these, you know, tragic experiences were the greatest blessings in my life.
I would say, I mean, I often say to people, you know, they say, oh, God, that must have been the worst thing that ever happened to you in your life.
Yeah.
And I say, no, it was the best thing that ever happened to me because it woke me up. Cracked me open like an egg. Great. Now I know vulnerability. Now I know what a heart center feels like, you know.
Definitely. And, you know, you mentioned awakening or spiritual awakening. And I just have to say, for me, it was definitely more than one. You know, on this long journey, my healing path, you know, to know myself. And I know sometimes, you know, especially in the circles we run in, people talk about, oh, I had this awakening and I woke up one day and had all the answers, or I had a kundalini awakening and now I'm completely evolved and completely enlightened.
Oh, yeah.
And then it stops there. And, you know, so we can actually do an injustice and disservice to ourselves by holding on to that one moment. And yeah, there was many one moments that were completely transformative and life-changing, but they still keep coming. And so the more I learn to just surrender and let go, the more I can actually see. And it's a never-ending process, and it's so exciting.
That's right. Well, it gets to the point of, you kind of get to the point of throwing yourself at these situations that would previously you'd have run away from. You start throwing yourself towards them because you know that they're transformative, and that you come out better in the end on the next thing. You know, I had a few weeks ago, I had a court experience that I'd never had before. I'd never been to court before, and I was really terrified, but I was a bit nervous.
It
turned out not to be at all bad, and I got off quite lightly. There was a lot of light because people sent me light, and I just happened to be there right at the beginning of the uncovering of the Freemasons, right in the middle of the epicenter of Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. Did you know that? That I live about 17 miles from Elgin, which is the center of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. And those three judges who were sat up there were, like, obviously rather high-level local Masons. So right in the belly of the beast, there I sat. And so many people were sending light and love to me because, I had all this Facebook stuff. And I thought, well, let's put this light to some use, I was just sending blessings to these three little judges and their clerks and their paedophile rapists. And we have our purposes, and it's like nothing that you go through again becomes onerous. It becomes right. Okay, today's puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know, I know that, I mean, for most of my life, when there were obstacles, I looked at them as problems.
Yeah.
Problems that could never be solved. And by learning to, change my perspective, that they were opportunities. They were opportunities for me to grow, to learn more about myself and others and the world around me. And, it's basically just, snowball effect from there, downward spiral or rather an upward spiral. So I'm always learning still, and I certainly welcome more into my life and, unsticking myself is just beautiful. But yeah, definitely scary. I mean, sitting in a courtroom, Jay, I mean, that's scary. That's traumatic.
And yeah, well, luckily I wasn't, done for murder or anything bad. It was just some traffic things, driving a car with no money. Actually, that was my crime, is driving car without money.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you mean like not having stickers and things like, I did that for years.
Yeah, well, so did I. And, much to the people who like to pay their insurances, chagrin, it cost me less to drive around for several years and just pay this fine, which is not bad. So it kind of works out all right. But I've been through personally, the last couple of years have been a very, very impoverished kind of situation.
Yeah.
And I think it's necessary because I have to find myself resources.
Find resources within me. I'm so glad you said that, Jay, because I have to, I've gone through that myself, and that's part of the letting go. I've had the house on the hill and, the red carpet treatment and all of these things, and, becoming completely financially devastated and broke was like another one of the best things that ever happened to me because it forced me to change things. And I remember sitting around complaining, oh, we can't afford to eat steak, or we can't afford to do that. And, awesome, because guess what it forced me to do? Grow my own food. And, exactly. You know, when you look at it, you know, on the surface value, it's like, okay, growing your food. But what are the blessings that come with that? Connecting with Mother Nature, putting your hands in the dirt, taking part in the miraculous creation and beauty of life. So it wasn't just growing my food. That opened up a whole other world of experiences, you know, climbing trees, talking with them, hanging out with the animals, and, you know, learning to hear their messages. And, yeah, so being poor was, I mean, and I still am, kind of course, you know, obviously I eat, I have a roof, I have an internet connection, or I wouldn't be here. So, you know, things always work out, but I had to trust the source and know, you know, I had to learn, don't worry about tomorrow. It's, you know, tomorrow's going to take care of itself. Just do the best you can right now and count your blessings. Don't focus on, you know, what you've lost or, you know, oh my gosh, I don't have that paycheck anymore. Oh my gosh, I don't have that job anymore. I don't have that big home anymore. Now I have to struggle, struggle, struggle. Well, guess what? That's how we grow. If everything comes easy to you, you know, you kind of end up stuck. Or I'll speak for myself. At least I did.
Well, you know, you can't build muscles without using weights to challenge
resistance.
Them, you know.
Yes.
And so we need to build our emotional system. We have all these internal muscles that we need to exercise as well. Our muscle of compassion, for instance, our muscle of discernment and discrimination and being able to stand up and say, this is my boundary and you can't go beyond there. Sorry. Without being angry, just, you know, that's it. Sorry.
Yeah, that's a really good analogy. I mean, you know, if you go to the gym or go to the weight room, if you're, you know, not challenging yourself, your muscles aren't going to grow.
That's right.
And, you know, we have that little heart muscle that we forget about, and it's actually the most powerful muscle in your body. And then you find out that, you know, your heart also has gray matter, that same stuff we have in the brain, and also as well as our gut. So, it forced me to switch from the mind, the mental, to incorporating all of it and realizing all of those things that we were taught, you know, were holding me back.
Mm. Yeah, and, you know, it's a continuous process, but Once you break the back of the problem, you know, once you understand what the problem is, you can see. I mean, it's just like saying, well, I want to run 500 meters, and if I practice four times a day or four times a week, I'm going to get that 500 meters up into my time. That's how for instance, I'm not much of a 500 meter runner, but if I want to if I'm playing a lead guitar part for a solo, I need to train my muscles to do so, and I have to train them slowly and take time to get them accurate, and then I speed up and speed up and speed up and speed up, you know, and the more I practice, the more I can speed up, the more fluid it becomes.
Definitely.
So that's that works the same if you do that with compassion and with all these other internal senses and the sense of recognizing energy, which is what we were kind of talking about earlier, about, you know, you saying, like, is it like being able to see somebody's aura? No, because really all it is, it's your heart. I use my heart to connect with the higher mental hyperspace being that is called the monad, and the monad can tell me the frequencies of anything. You know, it can read the Akashic records. It can go anywhere. So I just speak to my monad, and it's like talking to my master server, my ISP on the internet. And I can use my monad to talk to any other server on the internet, and that's what your monad is. And then I can drill down to find out, you know, your exact personality, energy, and things like that.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So, let's have a little look at that, because we'll do it bit by bit. And so when we're talking about the monad, there are three groups of monads on this planet. There's first ray, second ray, and third ray. Okay, the first ray is what they call often the red ray or the ray of white light. And it's the light of truth, of will, of pure power. It is, you know, just always pure and right and correct in its beingness and everything like that. The second ray group are generally the humans, the general kind of human population of this planet, you know, the generally good people. Because the second ray is love and wisdom. You've probably come across this, and our audience is getting up to speed with all this as well. And then the third ray monad group is the group of highly intelligent but not necessarily truthful or love-oriented. You see?
Oh,
you see?
Okay.
And that's what we call the powers that me, or the powers that were.
Ah, all right. Yeah.
So, for instance, if you're, you know, you're walking up to somebody and you feel a certain kind of warmth from them.
Yeah.
As you know, as an intuitive, you will have just this impression, overall impression, and that, you know, there's something human about them. That's the secondary monad. That's that love aspect.
And okay.
For most people, you don't experience it much. You know, they don't experience, they don't look at life from that point of view. Because that's the point of unified consciousness. But it does emanate through people. And if you're tuned into that, which you are, then you'll experience that. So you'll feel like three different groups of people. There'll be one group of people who you'll just feel comfortable around, you'll feel the warmth. But there's a sense of not being quite connected with those. There's another group, which is probably the group that you came out of. You know, all these people that you're talking about when you were the kind of law-abiding, quote, law-abiding citizens.
Man's law-abiding.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they would be, you know, they'd be part of the judiciary, they'd be part of the police, they'd be part of the system, you know.
A force, yeah. Yes.
And you have a certain kind of slight discomfort around them. You don't know why, you can't say exactly why, but there's not a feeling of like you don't want to say everything, you don't want to reveal yourself to these people.
Not very comfortable and nurturing,
yes,
right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. So, and that's the third ray monad group. And generally, you know, if you feel somebody like that, they're on your program.
Don't have them back.
Don't have them back. That's right. You know, you don't get that many in this group, and you know, I can name a few if you want, but one of them's got initials SDM, for instance. So, and you know, a lot of people are uncomfortable about that, they don't know why. And this is it, you know, there's this third ray monad in operation. And so understanding where people's monads are at is a very, very quick way. And I mean, it's not like judging them, because you, by the time you get to monad awareness, your unity consciousness is, you know, of quite a high degree. You know,
definitely.
So
that was huge you just said that, the whole judging thing, because, you know, we're taught to judge everything around us, and we kind of forget the simple rule, judge not lest you be judged. And that doesn't mean, you know, some bearded guy in the sky is going to, you know, throw thunderbolts at you. What it means is that you're going to be forced to experience that which you previously judged, so that you can learn compassion and empathy and actually see and experience those, you know, that shadow side, those deeper parts of ourselves that we want to, you know, ignore or not even admit exist. You know, it's always others, right? We're going to blame them. It's them, not me. And,
that's right.
And, you know, then the universe will come and knock you in the head and say, hey, baby, I've got a lesson for you.
Yeah. You remember saying it wasn't you. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah. Excellent. So, So that's the thing, and then what we call the first ray monad group, that you do find them on the alternative media, and these are people that you somehow feel very, very comfortable with when you first hear the voice.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not like they've schmoozed you. It's just like you feel at home. It's mm-hmm. like, I know this guy speaks from the same point of view.
Yeah.
He sees, and this is the first ray group. That's because you've got the first ray monad here. So you're part of that first ray monad group, and the whole truth brigade thing. Yeah, absolutely, truth. You've got to have truth, and it really the untruth outrages you. I can see that.
Definitely, but isn't it funny how? Okay, no matter how disconnected or unconscious we are, or how deep in denial we are, everybody thinks they have the truth, the one truth. And as you go through some of these experiences that we're talking about tonight here, you kind of learn that, wow, there's more than one truth. The truth is our perspective based on our experiences, but not necessarily universal truth.
That's right. There are common truths.
Oh, definitely. I'm just saying that when I was in that other, as you mentioned, the family I came from, and when I was in that mentality, I thought I knew the truth. After all, I learned it in school, or, my parents told me. So when I heard somebody say, like me, for example, 20 years later, I never would have accepted anything I have to say now, back then, as truth. Now I know it's truth, but then I'm, oh, come on, that's a bunch of, mamby-pamby, airy-fairy, that's total garbage. I know the truth. The truth is, in judges and cops and, all of those, the materialistic world.
Yeah, well, it's the world of authorities, and this is one of my little bugbears, when you have a belief, I've been thinking about this. If you have a belief, it means that somebody has told you that that's what's true.
Yes!
And a belief is an acceptance in that person's authority. So
yes!
If that person gets discredited in some way, you lose your belief.
Yeah, or not only that, I mean, just being open to new experiences, you find that, well, that maybe not be so true. However, it's kind of amazing how we can make things be true.
Mm.
For instance, in the medical profession, it's been proven that the first 5 minutes of a diagnosis or prognosis means everything in your recovery or lack thereof.
Yes.
So if you believe, for instance, if I would have believed that I had 6 months to live when doctors told me to, I could have manifested that, and therefore it would have been my truth.
Mm.
When I was diagnosed with all these things, it was my truth that I was sick and that there was nothing I could do about it because other than take drugs, because that's what they, the experts, told me. So I believed that as truth and took it on myself. It's wonderful how, thankfully, our truths can change through experience. And, yeah, so, I think it's the key is kind of being open to receiving new truths and being open to those ideas. And then, you really get to watch the magic unfold.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean I don't have to stay stuck here? Oh, thank you so much for sharing that truth with me.
The people, I remember people saying, oh, yes, don't be such a victim. You've always got the choice. And now I hear it coming out of my head. And I realize that, in order to know that, you have to have a completely different way of thinking. And so you have to have an upgrade to the operating system, You need version 3.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, if I would hear someone say that before, or that, Christy, you brought that cancer on yourself. I mean, that would kind of anger me. What do you mean? I am a victim. Don't you know?
Look what a victim I am, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, come on, feel sorry for me. I own this. I want to wear it. I want to carry it with me the rest of my life because, you know, I get attention or, you know, people feel sorry for me or, you know, whatever it is. And it's so wonderful to look back and see how our thinking actually, you know, is everything. And, you know, you talked about energy and matter and, you know, that's where it starts. Mm. You know, in our minds. So our thoughts are energy.
That's right. And, you know, you get people in and they talk about what they call woundology. It's like, let me show you my scars. You know?
Yeah.
Let me show you how injured I am. And yeah. And there's this big thing, you know, and everybody's got their injuries and it's currency, you know. People's wounds are currency.
Yes.
You know, you'll have these friends, and, you know, many women have friends like this, and they'll say, well, do you remember what happened when I was a kid and my dad? And instantly, you're brought back there, instantly you're in a sympathetic position, and she is just manipulating the juice out of you.
Yes,
you're going,
definitely.
Yeah, oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, yeah. And then you... as an excuse, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, so-and-so abused me, so, you know, that's why I act that way.
That's right.
And that doctor gave me this diagnosis, so I have an excuse to act out. And
that's right. And that's why I cut his brake pipes.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You know,
yeah.
It happens.
It's funny. Thank God for growth. Huh?
Yes, isn't it good we evolve out of that kind of thing? But yeah, yeah. It's so common, you know, because this attitude is pushed by all these soap operas that people watch and TV
yes.
shows, and we're all programmed into this way of behaving, which is not primal. We're told it's primal, but primal is a lot more gentle and a lot more aware. It's zombie, to use the common parlance, because it's all. Their life is programmed from the soap operas that they watch. This
yes.
is the way they behave because that's the way the people on the TV behave.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah. And everybody, you know, most people, of course, have that, oh, that's my favorite TV show and that's my favorite TV character. And they're, you know, they acted this way in this situation. So I'm going to mold myself to fit in with, you know, what they're
yeah.
doing, their truth. And all these beliefs we take on are really not ourselves. They're not our truths. They were given to us by someone else.
Mm.
So, like, you know, answering the question of, you know, Christy, take away everything you thought you knew and that somebody told you, what are you? What do you know?
Mm.
And, you know, that took me years to answer. And it's like, wow, the realization was nothing.
And that's always a good place to start. You know,
definitely.
If I know nothing, well, like, at least I can start learning something. What's
exactly.
New?
Start kindergarten at 30 years old.
Yeah. So we're going to take a break in a couple of minutes. Do you have a website, don't you? And do you publish blogs and things?
A little bit.
Yeah.
You know, part of my growth is getting over, you know, releasing all of these fears. I'm not good enough, or I can't write good enough, or I can't speak good enough, or I can't play music good enough. And so I have been branching out in writing and, you know, doing blogs and doing videos even and kind of releasing those fears. But yeah, I have an amazing, just a really wonderful journey, hence the name Soul Journeys Radio. Of course, we're all living our soul journey, whether consciously or unconsciously. So yeah, that's what I do at souljourneysradio.com. Which has also allowed me the blessing of, you know, sharing what I've learned, all of my mistakes and all of, you know, my untruths, and shedding those away and sharing them with others in hopes that they don't have to go quite through all the devastation and such I I needed to go through. So yeah, souljourneysradio.com will pretty much take you to everything I'm doing now, including my True Essence healing oils and herbs, where I make little blends and, you know, from my garden where I grow 90 different herbs.
Excellent. So we're going to take a break right now. I'm going to play. Do you know who Steve Hillage is?
I don't.
Have you ever heard of Gong?
I'm not sure.
All right. Well, Steve Hillage, this because you were talking about talking to the trees. This the song is called Palm Trees, the Love Guitar. Hang on, let me just make sure it's the right one. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, this is Wolf Spirit Radio, and I'm unmuted this time.
Oh, goodness.
This is one of those, I've got nine thumbs today. the usually familiar machinery around me seems to be completely adjusted in a different way. anyway, so yeah, do you enjoy the proper hippie music?
Oh, totally. That was great. Thanks for introducing me to something new.
Yeah, so that's Steve Hillage, and he used to play all these free festivals and things like that back in the day. There was a band called Gong. He came out of that. The Gong are still going. Steve Hillage is sort of doing stuff, but nothing like that anymore. Anyway, great music. Thank you very much. So here we are. We're back, and this is Wolf Spirit Radio. This is Ever Beyond. Just a quick maintenance thing. Wolf Spirit Radio is a listener-supported station. It only happens because people click that donate button. If you're listening to the archive, please go to wolfspiritradio.com and pop a few pennies in the coffers. Yes, good old-fashioned terms there. And tonight I'm speaking with Christy Aphrodite. And, well, where did we get to? We got to we certainly got to the turning point of your life and, well, I mean, both of our lives, really, and about how we decided. Because it is it's a point of choice, isn't it? You know, there is this one point where you do make a choice. You decided that you weren't going to be subject anymore; that you were going to be sovereign.
Absolutely.
You didn't probably have the words for it at that time, but you knew the feeling.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yep. Just unshedding all of those beliefs, all those things that I thought I knew. So, yeah, been an amazing journey.
Soul journey. What's interesting is, you know, I speak about the soul energies on the show a lot. And so I'm getting a nice picture of kind of where everybody's at, because it's an ongoing process. And it's also, you know, it's a group process. So what's happening is that every person who I'm speaking to is demonstrating similar characteristics, similar qualities that move through your life as you go through this process, which people call the process of enlightenment. Some people call it ascension. Some people call it integration. Some people call it soul infusion. You know, there's all these different words for it. Some people call it initiation. It is all the same kind of energy. And the stories that you talk about, everybody's got similar sorts of stories. It's never like nice, you know. We don't have really nice childhoods. It's always traumatic, you know. Usually, there's a lot of people who've been experimented on by the U.S. Navy and Army and everything. Lots of people have been traumatized. Children of army brats, bringing that energy and stopping that energy in its tracks. You know, lot of people who I would call themselves light workers often come up with the same story, you know, that they had a really, really traumatic childhood. The father is usually a military man and ends up being, you know, domestically violent. And the children, the life, you know, the here's my take on it, right? Because I hear it so much, and suddenly one day I had a realization, is that this is their job. This, you know, the job is to actually take this crap and not pass it on. Because that's how our previous generations did it. And that's how it stops.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. And, you know, but once again, it's, you know, removing what you think you know, because I was one of those children that you just talked about. And so I thought that abuse, being beat up, and, you know, being smacked for asking questions, or being locked in cages and closets, and, you know, being forced to do things you don't want to do, I thought that that was normal. I really didn't, you know, and of course, you know, as a child that it doesn't feel good, but you come to accept that. And during my acceptance of that, not knowing anything else, it was amazing to see how that's what I attracted into my life subsequently. I mean, I knew I didn't want it, but I still held on to those beliefs that, well, that's just the way it is. You know, shut up, little girl. You're supposed to be seen and not heard. Do not ask questions. And, you know, if somebody smacks you around or you know, abuses you, that's normal. So,
And, right, so we were talking earlier also about, you know, your soul ray package, and we haven't quite finished. We got as far as the soul group, which is a second ray soul group, and so there's a large number of these 1-2s that I've been talking to recently. These is what's interesting is that these are people in the alternative media. Just name them. But you know, it starts off with Dave Corso, who runs this station, and I, and Rebecca Jernigan, and then, you know, all these other people, Gary Cassidy, David Wilcock, you know, all these, everybody's got this, this 1-2 thing going on, and we have all different personalities, which is like colors our presentation into the world. And, the color that you come in with is the sixth ray of devotion. So, you certainly would have at the beginning flowed with and gone along with all the belief systems that are around you.
Yeah.
But you needed to awaken your healer, which is the second ray soul. All people with a second ray soul are healers. They just naturally heal. It's because you radiate your energy, and that causes other people to radiate their energy.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. And feel safe to radiate their energy. And that's kind of what it took for me on my path is, you know, feeling safe to break out of that conditioning of what, oh, well, this is what my parents taught me, or, you know, this is what I learned in school to get those dumb pieces of paper. And so, it was just you know, removing those fears and feeling safe in the world to express my individuality without fear of being burned at the stake again.
And that happens. And it happens, metaphorically and symbolically as well in our lives. You know, we get those moments. And interestingly enough, those moments are also initiations.
Yes.
And they also allow you to let go of something that you think is still needed, you know?
Yes, because after you go through that, then you know, oh, wow, there's nothing to fear, including fear itself. And, you know, you kind of find out that you don't actually have to suffer or be burned at the stake or have your head chopped off in expressing your individuality and living your truth. So that was like one of the most beautiful realizations. And it's just amazing when you learn about the spiritual physics, how that works, and how you don't have to be burned again.
Been there, done that. Don't need that lesson anymore.
Yeah. I don't want to do that again. And, you know, partly, or actually, you know, what I did last night, we talked about it before the show, that was a huge coming out for me in public, because I had done similar things like that in public before, 20 years ago. But, you know, if you don't have the discernment to You know, sure. Of course, everybody, you know, speak your truth, and we hear that, and yes, it feels good and right, but if you don't have the discernment to know who is ready to receive it, that's when it can backlash. So I've definitely learned quite a bit in the last 15 years about, all right, Christy, it might be your truth, and it might even be the truth, but are they ready to receive it? Are they ready to hear it? And so you kind of learn to temper what you share, you know, at different times in your life accordingly. So absolutely. I've definitely become more gentle in my approach. And it was just what a magnificent opportunity it was last night to go out and, you know, do what I did and not have fear of that. It actually felt really, really good. I felt like I was coming full circle back into myself, but in a more comfortable state instead of having that fear. Ooh, what are they going to say? Or ooh, when are they going to burn me? Ooh, what are they? You know, I don't have that anymore.
Ain't going to burn you, kid. You know, yeah. It's time for us to externalize. Now, the thing is, secondary souls are incredibly, incredibly sensitive people.
Yes.
Very, very, very sensitive.
Yes.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're reactive either.
No.
So these are people that can suffer. And
you
suffer
take
from
on
fear.
Other people's.
You take on other people's things. That's part of being a natural
yes.
shamanic healer.
Yes.
You know, you merge with people. You dissolve
yes.
into people.
Definitely.
And it's something that a lot of other people don't really get,
mm-hmm.
that it's like, you may approach me, but my skin is not the end of me. And as you come closer to me, you enter my field and I can feel you. I can feel what's wrong with you. I can feel your diseases. I can smell you, you know,
yes.
incredibly keenly sensitive. And,
yeah.
And one of the problems when that starts activating, as it does, is that the first reaction is like, I got to get away from these people because
yeah.
because we're,
yeah.
you know, it's just overwhelming. And then what happens is you discover that some people actually, you can feel them in your stomach and you want to get away as fast as you can. You know what you have to do?
What's that?
Get away as fast as you can.
Exactly. And that was another, you know, part of my growth. See, I would intuitively know these things, but I would doubt myself.
Absolutely.
Because, oh, well, hey, everybody else worships them. And, you know, so let's just put my knowing, my inner knowing and feelings aside, and let's just go see what's going to happen anyway.
Wow.
Well, because I'm curious. And, you know, and actually I came to the realization that in itself is what gave me the, it encouraged me to know and to trust myself, because after you distrust yourself or put your feelings aside to, you know, serve the unconscious, you know, reality that most of us are stuck in, or at least have been stuck in at some point, when you keep seeing it over and over and the same things repeating, it's all right, I am never doubting myself or my feelings again. Mm. When you feel that, just, you know, do it, and don't fall into the peer pressure or, you know, the all that glitters isn't gold thing. I mean, just because someone, say, has a name or has a badge or has a position, or, you know, just because the masses are following that, we don't have to. We have to trust ourselves. So that's been like one of the longest, hardest lessons for me to learn, but also just, you know, wonderful and exciting. And I'm so thankful for those experiences of distrusting myself, because now I know.
Yeah.
Now I know. And I can't be fooled again.
That's right. It's no longer a belief. You know, we do have, there's these little beliefs that still nag us and still change our lives. And it's a constant process, you know. But I would say that as the days go by, the time it takes us to go through the results of your programming, i.e., you know, you're acting out, and realizing that you're A, acting out, and B, why you're acting out, and C, what triggered it, that you get that period of time becomes shorter and shorter and shorter until one moment comes and you think, ah, I'm just about to act out. Hang on a second, I'll stop doing that. Because exactly. That has dire consequences, I have nowhere the end of that road is, so I'm not going to walk down there anymore.
Yeah, and then notice, you know, you can take a minute and notice where is that feeling coming from, and, you know, feel it rather than just act out unconsciously. And you know, that's really been one of the most glorious things is, you know, you were talking about the healer thing and how we pick up other people's emotions, but we take them on as our own.
Yeah.
And so realizing that, okay, yes, some of us may be a toxic waste dump, you know, say on an emotional and spiritual level for others, but we don't have to hold on to it. We don't have to lock it up in that receptacle and take it on and live it out ourselves, that we're actually recycling vessels, so to speak, that, you know, okay, so I pick that up now, but let's just release it and transmute it back out to the universe. We don't have to stay stuck and hold on to that. And even recognizing that when you're having these situations, that it wasn't always coming from us, that we accepted it as us. So that helped me to be able to realize that I could release these things and I didn't have to hold on to it. So
yeah. And then there's always karma and purpose, you know, which is, you know, the opposite of karma, which is dharma. You know, we work through our karma and then eventually we're released so that we can execute our dharma, which is life purpose. And so, you know, you've got this healing and teaching through devotion. So that's your path. That's the path that you decide in this incarnation to take. And these are the lessons that you have. And, you know, the sixth ray is quite a difficult one to master because you have to, temper this tendency to become over enthusiastic and then fall over because you then try to run before you walk.
Yes.
And between this sense of, at one with God, completely alone in the universe, kind of dichotomy thing going on as well. Sometimes you have the faith of that can move mountains, and sometimes you have no faith whatsoever, and you doubt even yourself. And it's getting across that is the challenge for the sixth ray personality. So, good luck with that.
And, you know, when you talk about the rays and such, I'm assuming that they would change as you change and change your perspective on your path or soul journey, right?
Well, generally.
Like just because we're, you know, we might be stuck in one level right now doesn't mean that there's no hope to change it and move on and settle into our natural state.
So, well, yes, we all are heading towards the particular human ray energy, and like the archetype of it, you know, the archetypal human, which is a Buddha. You know, that's what the Buddha is saying. You know, this I'm not going to give you any teachings this time. Just shut your head up, and just understand and try and find out what it is that made me feel the way I'm feeling, because you can do this too. You know, and that's the same message all through all the avatars throughout history. You can do this. You don't have to listen to my truth. And absolutely. That takes us right back to the beginning of your story with the doctors.
Yeah.
Because it's the same empowerment, and you're obviously very aware of it. So, Christy, meanwhile, all about you, right? don't mind me.
Okay.
the what how did you get into radio? How did that happen?
Well, wow. Okay. Here's the story.
Yeah, come on.
It was actually, okay, let me tell you, like 10 years ago, if you would have said I'd be on radio today, I would be like, all right, dude, you are totally crazy and, you know, pretty please share with me whatever you're on. It sounds fantastic and wild. And it was a series of experiences that it was really, honestly, it was a means to save my life. And, you know, when I was kind of in the political game and, you know, exposing sex trafficking rings that were run by cops and, you know, Homeland Security and all of those good people, FBI, that were supposed to be saving them, I found out that, you know, I was public enemy number one. And that was kind of my introduction to finding out these protectors, so to speak, that I had always looked up to and admired and thought were there for our own good, were going to protect us. That's where I saw firsthand that, oh, no. They are here to continue that cycle. And when you touch on something like that and try to expose it with, you know, I definitely had noble intent. I mean, I wanted to save the little girls. I thought, honestly, I mean, after, you know, I got some videos and, you know, went and did all that stuff, I thought that everybody would be as excited about it as me. And initially, I didn't know that the cops and the FBI were running these things. So, of course, who do you go to for help? The cops and the FBI. And so you find out that they're the ones doing it, and because of it, oh, well, we better shut you down somehow. So that was kind of my introduction into the intrinsic, I'll call it evils or darkness of the world. So I ended up with an onslaught of slander, physical threats, literally like being shot at with guns, with laser weapons, cops coming to my door. And here I was in a wheelchair with two children to support alone. And it was very, very scary. So what happened, there was a series of videos I made where these cops, you know, beat me up and beat up this other woman and arrested her completely unjustly. And so I tried to place a citizen's arrest on a cop.
Oh, well done.
Well, these videos went viral. And so I ended up being a guest on radio shows, different networks. And after I was a guest on this one particular show, he's like, wow, that went over cool. I'd like to have you guest, co-host, my show with me more frequently. So it once a week, then went to three times a week. And, you know, that was a big change, a big turning point for me, because I realized that it, you know, there was a lot of anger in this crusader mentality. You know, and blaming and, oh, we got to go get these guys and stuff. So I found out that that was no longer serving me. And I found out that, wow, you can do a show for free on TalkShoe and all you need is an internet connection and a phone. So I started that literally, it was just about exposing what was going on and having a platform to talk about it, so that if I got shot again or threatened again, or, you know, that I wouldn't disappear quietly. So that's how it started. And when it started, I was, you know, in the political paradigm for the most part. I mean, I pretty much realized that R's and D's were the same and they were working together, but my anger towards finding out that everything I was told previously or everything that I had put my belief in before was a lie. So that's how it started. And then it evolved as I was able to, you know, I mentioned before when, you know, when the student's ready, the teachers will come. Mm-hmm. So I would invite guests on the show, or people would, you know, find me and want to come on the show, and each of them unlocked a piece of knowledge that was within me that I didn't either recognize or I completely ignored. And that was my soul journey and how it evolved to what it is now. So each of these guests on the show, I know a lot of people are, you know, I've always kind of done my show different. I always wanted it natural and organic and unscripted, and didn't want to repeat the same things that I heard everywhere else. And some, you know, shows and presenters and such kind of have this air of, oh, well, I already know everything, but we're just going to have this guest on here to fill time. Instead, they were all my teachers. So it was like I was going to school for free, and really all I had to do was talk on the phone to brilliant minds and, you know, beautiful people all over the world. And then people that I had met during that process introduced me to Danny Romero on American Freedom Radio, because I was just doing podcasts on Talk Shoe then, and he like called me up and he's like, hey, do you want a radio show on a real network? And I'm like, dude, are you on drugs? I have no idea what I'm doing. I have no idea how to host a radio show or what to do. And he's like, well, that's what I like about you. You're natural. You're not scripted. You're not serving an agenda. So, hey, let's give it a shot. And here we are 4 years later on real radio. And I'm still like, what? I'm on radio? That's just weird. So it was just a natural step. It was never something that I had attained. You know, it wasn't a goal that I had to attain. I didn't go to school for broadcast media. I really knew nothing about it. And you know, Jay, that I'm definitely technically challenged, perhaps even deficient, which I'm okay with that. But yeah, it just happened. It wasn't, oh, hey, I'm going to be on radio and I'm so smart and I have all these things to share with the world. No, it was just, it was my learning experience. It was my free schooling.
Well, you know, that's, you've raised several very, very interesting points there. The first one, I want to wind back all the way back to the exposing of the pedophilia rings and things like that. Mm-hmm. That is now mainstream.
Yeah, now.
Well done. Well done for being at the front end, the edge of that. And that's the first ray.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I don't usually, you know, I still get beat up to this day. And there's still, you know, fake blogs and fake videos with all these crazy stories about me saying, you know, oh, that never happened. I mean, even though there's like 50 videos out there. And, you know, once again, I'm technically challenged. So they're obviously not edited or photoshopped. They're just, this is the entire experience. Me holding the camera on my shoulder. And what you see is what you get. Mm. So once again, and it wasn't an agenda. It was actually shock and like, wow, can you believe this is going on? And, you know, here, let me just show the world. And yeah, it is nice to see that it is a little more mainstream now. But of course, when you're, you know, one of the first people doing that, you know, you get a head or two chopped off.
Well, yeah, you know, there's it's like a great, I'm trying to think of the right thing. It's a bit like one of those, like a mask or a sticking plaster that, you know, it's vast. But if you just peel the edge up just a little bit, you can break the vacuum that the whole thing sticks on with. And if everybody just puts that, you know, pushes a little bit under the edge there, and people have started ripping it up, and it's now, it's more or less torn off now. And we're seeing this whole gaping wound. We've got a massive scandal going on right now in Britain that is going to tear the government. It's going to tear the police, the judiciary, the social workers, the doctors, the lawyers, the politicians, the entertainers, the whole fabric of what we call British society is based on the judgment of these paedophile rapists, right? Yeah. And people are now starting to realize that. And
yeah, it's
not
funny, the
be
ones
long.
Making the laws against it are the ones doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it is definitely coming out. I'm noticing people everywhere, even people that, you know, still you know, go along to get along, mentality. Mm. Even they're realizing, wow, yep, nope, they're the drug dealers, they're the rapists, and maybe they haven't really come out of their shell and don't want to speak up right now because they're afraid they're going to lose their job, they're, you know, in social work or law enforcement or whatever it is, but they see it and they're noticing it. And it's just really beautiful to see us all evolve on that level. But I'd also like to add that when I started in that, once again, it was something that I stumbled upon. I didn't outwardly seek it, but I was obviously very passionate about it because I had run away from the same thing myself. Mm. So honestly, when I started that plight and immersed myself in that desire to, you know, save the little girls and boys being trafficked, it was, you know, here we go back to the wounded healer again, that we have this stuff inside ourselves unconsciously. So, you know, maybe I could have found a better way to go out and do it and present it to others so that I wouldn't have had to, you know, have my head chopped off to realize that, oh, here I am. You know, and yes, I definitely wanted to save the little children. I mean, who doesn't? But inside what was really going on is that I was trying to save myself. And there was a lot of unconscious energy in that desire, however noble it was, that, you know, there was anger that, well, this happened to me and I'm never, ever, ever going to let it happen to anyone again. Yeah. And so I had to kind of step back and then look at my path. And it's like, well, hey, I made it and it was my path. And who are we to say, you know, I really wanted to empower other people. I had found out, Jay, that people that were stuck in these rings, they wanted to stay there. They were too afraid to break out. They were afraid, you know, of the threats. This is what's going to happen to your family, and this is what's going to happen to you. And, you know, so... Yeah.
Well, they call it the Stockholm Syndrome, don't they?
Yeah, I did not succumb to those fears myself, thankfully, and I kind of wanted to push on others. I was kind of forcing it. Look, you don't have to live this. And so they're like, screw you.
Yeah.
Not just the rapists, but the rapees themselves.
Yes.
They wanted to stay there. And that was like a tough realization for me. So when I moved out to Branson, I mean, here I was thinking that, oh, I'm in a small town in the country, in the Bible Belt, and certainly this type of stuff is not going on.
It can happen here.
Yeah, I was exactly in the same place I left on the border of San Diego. And so I went and met some of these women and wanted to put them on video and talk about it. And then I met cops who were fired because they were investigating the dead bodies in the landing, or they would pull over the wrong people, meaning the people who were actually running these things and, you know, kind of getting their heads chopped off too. So
shades of Twin Peaks.
Yeah, there was a huge lesson in learning to live and let live. And when people are ready to break out, they will. They will. It's once again part of our soul journey.
You know, it's really interesting talking to you, Christy, because it's, you know, the process that you've been through, you are like an archetypal human on the journey, you know. Like you were saying, you know, you're in this regular kind of position with a regular kind of breadth of imagination because you were, you know, programmed to believe like everybody else. And the journey that you're going through, that you've gone on, this is the journey into spirit, as you know.
Yeah.
And the journey into spirit, it absolutely is necessary to strip away the personality. It's what they call the ego, you know. And like I said, you know, to have a sixth ray personality is quite a challenge. Because it's got this tendency to think it can run before it can walk.
Yes. Yep.
And so, you know, you, I can see, you know, and very comically probably have fallen on your face once or twice in your life.
Or 100 or 200 times.
Bless your heart. And bless your nose. It must be. Maybe you learn to turn sideways. But, you know, it is, you know, it is a challenge and a struggle. And you have certainly overcome many, many challenges that many people, even if they were just to have one of the issues that you had, that would be the end of their life. You know, they'd give up. You know, I had a stroke. Okay. Give me the drugs. Switch me off. Forget it. You know.
Yes.
All of those things. But you have, you know, you're just bloody-minded, aren't you? You're just determined to stay around and make something different. Make a change.
Definitely. I have to thank my children for that, though, because I really, Jay, I mean... Yeah, people will, you know, say, oh, you're such a badass. You were able to overcome all these things. And, you know, but the truth is, I don't know exactly where that came from. And I can only credit my beautiful children who were, you know, some of my greatest teachers to give me the will to live and to move on. And that's why I had to finally say no. And not accept giving my power outward because, you know, we're leaving it in somebody else's hands because obviously that wasn't working. And I had these two beautiful angels that relied on me. So I had to try something else. I was forced into trying something else because everything I tried to do on my own based on what I thought was my will, perhaps my ego or, you know, personality tendencies, I had to face that inside myself and let it go and be open to something else. So my children, I have to give them credit for giving me that will. I had to provide for two children. And how was I going to do that in a wheelchair and, you know, paralyzed and, you know, disabled and, you know, having strokes and all of that crazy stuff. So they gave me the will. They gave me the will to go on despite these so-called tragedies.
Wow. Bless your heart, Christy. And here you are today. kicking ass. And so we're on, you did this thing called the Truth Brigade, which was was that your podcast show?
Or did that was the name of it.
That went on to American Freedom Radio.
Yeah, the Truth Brigade kind of came to me while I was in the political paradigm and found out that, oh my gosh, you mean those two so-called sides are actually the same coin and working together? And so people kept wanting me to put me in a box. For instance, oh my God, it was so hilarious. Dealing with the border issues, for instance. And I grew up on the border, okay? So I had one side of, you know, pick the border issue, saying, oh my God, she's such a racist. And then the other side, the racist side, was saying, oh my God, she's working for La Raza, an anti-American. And, you know, how dare she, you know, talk to illegal aliens and, you know, all of this crazy stuff. So I had it coming at me from both sides. And so when Truth Brigade came, it was actually in the middle of an interview with a news channel. This was in 2006, and they're like, oh, so are you with these guys or are you with those guys? And, you know, that was when I stood up. I'm like, neither. I just want to find the truth. I want to find the common ground and see how we can unite everyone, you know, and still accept other people's beliefs and experiences and see how both sides and picking a side is certainly detrimental. And of course, the cause, the reason that these issues continue. So that's where that came from.
Interesting. Interesting. So,
yeah.
And you know, the sixth ray is the ray of the soldier and of the monk. You know, you can understand it takes the devotion, you know, both of them take devotion. That's the quality that they have in common. You know, the soldier has to be completely devoted to king and country or, you know, flag or whatever you get devoted to in military. But it's also militant. You know, righteous indignation. And all of
totally.
That, you know, and this and that can go excessive. Now, what's interesting is that you carry the same rays as the United States, as the American people, let's say, forgetting about the Constitution stuff, but the Americans, you know, your nation is a 2-6 nation. Which is is essentially it's a very welcoming soul, you know, there's E Pluribus Unum, but it's also very strong on belief and very militant and very
easily insulted. That totally makes sense.
Yeah.
And so even the word brigade itself is militant, and that's why I wanted to leave that behind, because I did not see myself as militant. I mean, I certainly wasn't like violent mm-hmm. or, you know, anything like that. But, you know, the search for truth mm-hmm. can certainly become kind of a militant crusade. So that's actually why one of the huge reasons I wanted to leave that behind and the energy surrounding it behind, because it wasn't my intent. But when I started in it, you know, as we've already talked about, I was doing it unconsciously. I mean, I certainly had the idealistic expectations. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I could definitely look back and see how that was militant. Well, hey, we know this little truth, so, you know, you must also see this as well. And if you don't, well, I'm just going to shove it down your throat. Mm.
So really, what your story is the story of evolution of America. Think about that, because you're connected in the collective, even though, you know, you're on a very small station, you know, it's not the big AM stations or anything like that, but it's certainly, people are listening to it. The people who need to listen to it are listening to it, and it spreads out. And what's, this whole thing, this 2-6 energy is fascinating, because you're going through the process of becoming a soulful individual, right? And you recognize it, and truth and brigade, the truth brigade, right, is, you know, that's purely this 1-6 energy, truth and brigade, you know, the brigadier sort of thing, and the soul, the ray of the soul, is ray 2.
Okay.
Yeah, see, and so and it works through the heart center. And its energy is the warm, soft expansion. So, you know, if you ever need to kind of connect in with that, just imagine yourself inside a glowing sphere of light that grows bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, definitely. And you know, when you compare, I guess, my rays to America, I can also see how, you know, looking back, for instance, on the history of America, you know, we go to school and we, you know, we're learned to repeat the lies. A lot mm-hmm, of it was mm-hmm, based mm-hmm. on illusion.
That's
so
right.
I totally see how I believed in the illusion, yet, you know, still had the welcoming nurture mentality and kind of letting go of that illusion and going back to the ideal of what, you know, maybe, you know, people think of as America, you know, free and all-encompassing. Of course, you and I, and I'm sure anyone listening to the show, know that that's, you know, bull garbage. that was heavy, you know, realizing those lies and then the illusion that I was living within myself, but it really wasn't myself. I was suppressing myself to further the illusion.
That's
unknowingly.
Right. That's because we're bought into it and we're giving our energy to it. Every moment you spend paying taxes, every moment you spend worrying about paying taxes.
Yes, yes.
Every moment that you spend not creating a better future for yourself, you're giving to them and you're holding yourself back.
Yes.
And so your story is the story. You know, I just can think of you. You are the all American girl. I'm interested that this, you know, this is a realization that I had while we've been talking, but it's fascinating. I've been talking over the last few weeks with various other members of this same soul collective, and with different rays. For instance, Robert Morningsky, who I know, uh-huh. Well, that's when I came across him. He was on your show earlier on this year. It has rays 1, 2, and 4. You see, this is his thing about, you know, he's always talking about harmony and disharmony and all that stuff. You know,
yeah.
Ray 4 is the ray of the artist, you know, and you often see people with ray 4, they've got like a hairstyle that is slashed, you know, a slash hairstyle that goes from one side to the other. It's not symmetrical.
You know. Ah, he is such a very powerful and beautiful soul. Mm. And yeah, what an honor to have met him on my path and, you know, be able to share and learn in his wisdom. So I am certainly grateful for that. And I do just want to say the whole American thing. I hope that nobody's confusing that for, I certainly don't identify myself by a place that I was born. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, I guess maybe why some people call me anti-American is, you know, I'm definitely not bound by the flag or the leaders, and I don't buy into the separation anymore. I believe that we're all part of one race, the human race, not, you know, American or Indian or Greek or, you know, Italian. And yeah, I mean, obviously, we're all kind of brought up in our own little culture, and we are taught that separation by design, but I've certainly evolved beyond that, thankfully.
Well, like I was saying, you know, that your story is the story of America, and of course there will be a lag, but the things that you were finding out 4 years ago, 8 years ago, people are starting to find out now. That time will become compressed. They won't have to wait 4 years, you know, because you've done the digesting for them, and it's now ready for them on the next turn of the spiral.
And, excellent.
you know, because what's going to happen is that more and more people are going to wake up like you did.
Yeah.
Yeah? Definitely. It's just that you were first.
Yeah, hopefully more gently than I did.
Oh, well, you know, but at least, you know, as I said, it's coming on the Jerry Sandusky has done a great service to the world by volunteering to be the American archetypal pedophile rapist who has become, he was the first to become exposed, and the people that are connected with him are now being seen to be doing damage control so they can be examined too, and so on. And that will be like a kind of viral thing that people will be exposing and exposing and exposing. You know, the ball is rolling.
I really hope it continues.
The ball
really
is rolling.
Or rather continues. I hope that it just, you know, stops entirely, that people become aware of, you know, their unconscious patterns. And, you know, I think it would be lovely to see a world where none of this had to happen for us to wake up. Yeah, so it is neat to see all these things that were previously hidden and, you know, finally coming to the surface and being exposed. And that's not to say, of course, that, you know, everything that's going on is exposed in the news. That's obviously not true. Yeah, and then, you know, a lot of times when things are in the news, you have to question, well, why? You know, is this, you know, they have to put all the attention and focus on this one person, but what about these 10 other people that are doing the same thing? Why him or why her?
Yeah. And who are the people that are throwing him under the bus?
Exactly.
Watch who's doing the throwing. All I can say, Christy, we've run out of 2 hours. Isn't that amazing? Ah! Yeah,
yes.
I know. There was a moment, a timeless moment. Lovely.
Definitely. Thank you, Jay. I really appreciate you bringing me on your show and, you know, being able to share a little bit of my mistakes and discoveries on my path. I really appreciate that.
That's your Sunday confessional, my love.
Yes. Woohoo!
Actually, I do think there is merit in just being able to lay it out. So thank you very much, Christy. Aphrodite, Actually, truthbrigade.com still works. It'll take you to the new website, which is souljourneysradio.com. Christy has got so many projects up her sleeve. They're all linked. Buy her essential oils if you're in America. If you're in Britain and you need to buy essential oils, speak to me, because the cost of shipping them across the pond is exorbitant, so it's best to buy local anyway.
I'd like to know more about that so I can refer people, because, you know, people listen to our show worldwide and they're like, hey, can you ship me one? And so I've been trying to create alliances with people in other countries.
All right.
So it will help. You know, it's like, no, go to Jay's site. Mm. He can do that. And, you know, I recently got to do that with somebody in Australia, and one of our listeners, you know, is also doing the same thing. So I got to refer our Australia people to them. So please let me know more, so we can kind of hook up and I can send our UK listeners to the place that you are working for. Yes,
aromantic. So with that, Christy Aphrodite, God bless you, my dear.
Bless you too. Thank you.
This has been Ever Beyond. I'll see you. I think I'll be on Tuesday. If not, Rebecca will be home and late with Emily McCullough. And next week, William Stillings. Yes, we're going to nail him down for some more really, really highly technical information. And it will be Geek City. We'll talk time travel. We'll be talking oscillators and rotors. We'll be talking elements. We'll be talking...
Beyond.